We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From the Mobile Pod World headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider. Brought to you by AT&T, a proud supporter of Carolina Athletics.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. Adam, it's almost summertime, Adam. Almost summertime. Not quite. We'll still call this a late spring edition of the Carolina Insider. We're getting close to Adam kicking back on the beach, sunglasses and lemonade, but we're not there yet. Getting close.
My toes in the water.
Yeah.
And my posterior in the sand.
We got a good show coming up. We've got a couple of newsy items. Adam has a list. Do you have a list?
No.
Adam does not have a list. But we do have some emails, some tweets that we want to get to. And we have a really good interview, Adam, with Justin Watts, former Tar Heel basketball player. Justin was here in the late 2000s, early 2010s. I guess that's the right way to put it. He was a freshman on that 2009 championship team, and then his senior year was 2012. Of course, we know a very good team that had some bad luck at the end with injuries. So we talked to Justin about his Carolina time and about his time internationally, where he's been multiple places over the last 7 or 8 years, different countries, different experiences, and really an enjoyable interview. I think you're going to enjoy hearing from Justin.
I thought he gave one of the best explanations I've heard of what makes Roy Williams a good on-court coach.
Oh, so you'll hear that coming up shortly. Adam, spring sports, just our quick Carolina update here. Unfortunately, season's coming to an end, although deep runs, men and women on the tennis side, both get to the Final Four, but both fall short there in the national semifinals. Good run for softball. They made it to the regional final, falling to nationally ranked and homestanding Tennessee in a really close game for them and in the final game of that regional. Who else am I missing? Women's lacrosse is moved on to the Final Four. They're still playing. They'll be against Boston College. That's a rematch of the ACC tournament championship. The other two teams alive, Northwestern and Maryland. That's a rematch of the Big Ten championship on the other half of the bracket. Baseball's still going. They have had a tough end to the regular season. They'll try to get things turned around coming up this week. By the time you hear this, they are already in action in the ACC tournament, and then they'll certainly make the NCAAs. We'll just find out. I think their success or lack thereof this week can help their hosting chances, and then if they have to go somewhere else, where that is, et cetera. So sports winding down, great years, feel really bad, especially women's tennis. Yeah, they had only lost one time all year and lose a close match against Stanford in the Final Four. Stanford goes on to win the national championship, and just hard to win those things, man.
Yeah, and both tennis programs have had so much success. That's now two Final Fours in 3 years for men's tennis, who I think sometimes kind of operates in the shadow of women's tennis, but two Final Fours in 3 years, and it was 4-3 against Wake Forest, and Will Bloomberg, who has had an incredibly successful career, was the last one on the court and ended up losing a close match. But both those teams, both those programs, great runs, and as always, positioned well for the future.
Adam, ACC Bay, you have seen more Carolina baseball than I have. Tar Heels, boy, it's been a rough last couple of weeks for them. I know fielding has been a problem. They had a bunch of problems in the field error-wise this past weekend against NC State, and just seemed to be scuffling a little bit, trying to find their identity here at the end of the year.
Well, I think you felt good about that NC State series after the Thursday night game. Aaron Sabano hits for the cycle, and Carolina wins that game, and so you feel like you're set up pretty well. But then Friday and Saturday, things just got away in a hurry. Some pitching issues, some defense issues, and when you have pitching and defense issues, it doesn't really matter how much you hit. And there were and several times Carolina didn't hit the way that you wish they would have. So it feels like the pieces just haven't quite fit the way you'd like them to by mid-May, in terms of knowing exactly where everybody needs to be, and Coach Fox still trying out a couple things, even in that NC State series. So, but that being said, I think you can lose 2 of 3 to NC State if you didn't lose the series the previous weekend to Pitt.
Right.
Pitt's not good. Pitt, I think, finished something close to 8-22 in the ACC. Two of those wins were against the Tar Heels. You can't drop that series. And so, as we know, it's much more difficult in college baseball when you have to go on the road in the NCAA tournament.
Just, yes.
And Carolina has not been good on the road this year. Their numbers at home are much more successful than on the road. So if they could possibly get hot and make a little noise in the ACC tournament, which now has its 45th different format in the last 38 years, you play two pool games. If you advance out of the pool, you go into single elimination with three other teams starting on Saturday. It's in Durham this year for the last time. So,
where's it going?
Well, the International League has made some rule that their teams cannot hold a week open in their schedule for things like the ACC tournament.
Hmm.
So it's going to have to go somewhere that is not International League, which I think rules out Durham, Charlotte, and Louisville, where it's been before. So possibly baby Charleston, Greenville might be in the Greenville, South Carolina might be in the mix. I think Winston-Salem's got a park, and Greensboro maybe.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
But I mean, I know they have a park, but I can't remember if they're affected by this rule. But definitely will not be in Durham next year. So if you're in the Triangle and you want to catch the ACC tournament, this is the weekend to do it, especially if the Tar Heels are in the single elimination play beginning Saturday.
That's a shame. I always thought Durham did a nice job hosting the event.
Well, and I think the Bulls would like to, and they've had to say all the right things. Oh, we understand that the International League has to do this, but I think they also have said they would like to maybe down the road work it out so that it'll fit for everybody.
Adam, but anything else just Tar Heel spring stuff-wise?
No. NBA combine measurements and things happened. People always get really excited about those.
Well, let's talk a little bit about NBA combine, Adam, because there was some noise made with some comments that Nasir Little made at the NBA combine. It's about the confusion of his role at Carolina. And, you know, and since that has happened, he's come back out and said, well, look, there was more to this quote than what was said. And, you know, that was not meant to be something as a slight against the coaches or anything like that. But also at that point, the horse was kind of out of the barn a little bit. And I think two things. Number one, Nasir Little was nothing, and we've said this many times, nothing but a good teammate, worked hard, tried hard, listened to the coaches, made no issues. I mean, there was nothing negative about Nasir Little during his time here. I think it came down to the fact that, yeah, he was being asked to play a couple different positions, and at times that may have been a challenge in his mind or in somebody else's mind, and that's okay. But I think it also goes to just the sports media culture that we're in, and we know this as well as anybody, that you just have to be careful what you say and what you mean.
Well, here's the headline and the first two sentences from the story that caused all the commotion. The headline was, Nasir Little says he struggled at UNC because the coaching staff didn't clarify his role. First two sentences. Former North Carolina forward Nasir Little says he never got a clear understanding from the coaching staff what his role on the basketball team was this past season. As a result, he struggled. That's the paraphrased version of what he said.
Yeah.
If you go back and read the transcript of what he actually said, the Q&A, here's the question, here's the answer, nothing's taken out. He never actually said this. This story says he said it, but that's not what he said. He never once said, never got a clear understanding from the coaching staff. That makes it sound like in March, he was sitting there going, hey, Coach Roy Williams, what am I supposed to be doing? Coach Roy Williams was like, I can't tell you, Nasir.
Right.
He said at the beginning of the year, he was a little confused, as almost 99% of freshmen are. But he never once said the entire year, and because I didn't get this explanation, I wasn't able to perform the way I wanted to. It's real close to being irresponsible to put that headline and that first line on a story you wrote based on an interview you weren't present for. If you're going to say someone, like if I'm going to say, Jones says that blah, 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 I better make sure I have a quote that said exactly what I say you said.
Right.
I can't say Jones says and then paraphrase what you said. That's, you're not supposed to do that. If I say you said it, I've got to have quotation marks around what you said. And that's not what happened here, which I think is what frustrated Nasir Little and what started.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. And that's, as that started to come out in the subsequent hours, which is like you have minutes today once this story comes out to turn it back around. As it started to come out, you started to see some places were changing the headlines they had put on this story. And even kind of the whole main idea of this story, they would go in and change it as it became clear, oh, I see, okay, it's not, he didn't actually say that. It's kind of like that, but it's not really. But this one place, I just read it right off here a week later. It's still the exact same as it ever was. And I think that's too bad.
Not necessarily unexpected, though.
No.
As far as other combine stuff, Coby White's going to get picked really high, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to go – I saw an article today, you know, that in that six – who's got – seven is the Bulls. Who's six? Is that the Cavaliers? Five's the Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who's in between them. But it seems like that is the area that he is being discussed the most, kind of in that five, six, seven range for Coby White. So looking forward to seeing where he and Nasir Little and Cameron Johnson, who I think will all be first-round picks, where those guys go. And you hope Kenny Williams and Luke May, hope they get a shot as well, if not in the second round as a free agent or something like that, to try it out as well. And if it doesn't work out there, to overseas or in the G League or whatever. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys – and because, as we're going to hear from Justin Watts here in a few minutes, and as we've heard from guys we've had on before like Jawad Williams, you can have spectacular careers and lives even if it isn't in the NBA. Basketball can still do it for you.
Number six is Phoenix.
Phoenix.
And – Coby White left the combine after interviewing for a couple teams, which this is the time of year when everyone speculates on what that means, but people generally think that means someone at a certain level has told him they will pick him if
right.
he's there. And so that would tend to be good news for him. I mean, certainly he can put the ball in the basket.
Yes.
I would think he will be a good professional player based on my extensive NBA knowledge.
I want to talk one more basketball thing before we get to our Justin Watts interview. And this is something that you and I had talked about. We had meant to talk about on our last episode, and we forgot to do it. And that is that there are some pretty significant rule changes being bandied about for college basketball, including lengthening the three-point line, including changing the shot clock after offensive rebounds. So there's some big stuff that looks like maybe coming towards hoops.
The three-point line, they say, may go out to the international three-point line, which is 22 feet, 1.75 inches.
Got it.
Not 22.2.
No.
1.75.
Got it.
So that's over a foot.
That's a pretty significant difference.
Remember
last time they changed it went around 10 years ago, it was a couple inches. It really wasn't that far back. It was a difference, but it wasn't that much. This is a significant change.
I think your guys like Cam Johnson, who were already shooting it at 23 feet, several feet behind the line, it doesn't matter to them. But I think maybe it matters some to your guys who that was right on the very edge of their range, and now you're going a foot back. That's That's pretty significant. I happened to randomly bump into Theo Pinson, who knows about shooting three-pointers. And he said he thought it would make a big difference for the first year or two.
Yeah.
He said, once guys start training for that distance, it'll matter. And he said, but the fact that they're doing it and then they could put it into practice 2 months later, usually I feel like we get more of a lead time on big rule changes like this. So he thought it might make a difference this coming year and maybe even some the next year. And after that, players will get used to it.
I like it. And I like the shot clock. What is the shot clock now? Maybe go to 20 seconds. Is that right?
Right.
If a team gets an offensive rebound, instead of giving the full 30 seconds,
right,
you would get 20 seconds, which is similar to what they do in the NBA. NBA, of course, your normal shot clock is 24, but after an offensive rebound, it's only 14. And so the difference is the same. I like that too. I think they are just different things. Spread out the floor when you're talking about the three-point line, open up the game a little bit, also make that shot a little more challenging. I have said, and I know some people disagree with this, I think it's too easy in college basketball now for the level of shooters that you have. And I think the offensive rebound thing is just a way to continue to keep the pace of the game moving quickly. It is a way to increase possessions for both teams. I like it.
Does that lessen the importance of offensive rebounding?
I do.
That's the only thing I worry about.
I understand that argument. I don't think it does. I mean, you're still giving yourself extra opportunities to score. Now, of course, it could come into play at the end of a game or something. If you get an offensive rebound, now you can't run the clock out as much. But I don't think it lessens it because you're still essentially doing the same thing, and that's getting another chance to score. You just have to organize yourself a little faster. And so many teams now, after offensive rebounds, I mean, think normally after an offensive rebound, it's not as though you go through a full shot clock. It does happen, but a lot of times it's either you're going back up or you're kicking back out for a quick three-pointer, and that's just kind of how the game is now.
Yeah. Coach Williams always is telling the team, just because you get an offensive rebound, it's not your God-given right to go back up with it.
Right.
I wonder, you have a little more incentive to go back up with it now than maybe you did before. I mean, we see it because Carolina's so good at it. There's nothing more demoralizing than you play 28 seconds of defense, a team misses a shot, then they get the rebound, and you have to do it all over again. How often, though, is Carolina playing, holding the ball for 28 seconds plus 28 seconds? Now, somebody like a Virginia,
right?
I could see where this might hurt them a little. I mean, you're guaranteeing more possessions, and they're trying to create fewer. So it seems to me it would hurt them, but they're so good defensively, I think they'll just defend for however long they need to.
Why don't we get to our Justin Watts interview?
I like this interview.
I do, too. We really enjoy getting a chance to talk to Justin. And again, Adam, in a similar way to Jawad Williams, it's just what an interesting path that Justin Watts has taken, all because of basketball and how it has affected his life away from the court and given him experiences that I can't imagine he ever thought he would get.
No. I mean, who would have even thought – when he left here as a senior, that we would be sitting here talking to him 7 years later and his passport would have all these stamps in it and he would have seen all these things. He's seen way more than what we've seen.
Yeah, and still playing basketball for a living.
Right.
And enjoying it.
And that's what I was going to say. It seems like it suits him. Like he seems like he fits, much like Jawad does.
Marcus Guignard, another one who we've talked to. Deion Thompson, one that we haven't talked to, who's done this as well. Just some more recent guys who have really made nice careers out of basketball, even though it hasn't necessarily been in the NBA for a long time. So let's get to our conversation with Justin Watts. We'll get to that. Come back. We're going to go through some emails and stuff after our chat. But here's former Tar Heel Justin Watts.
If it's interview time, it's time to have another national champion.
Oh, yeah.
This time, we've got a member of the 2009 national champions, Justin Watts. Justin, we appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And giving us a little time. Catch us up on what's been going on in the Justin Watts world.
Well, I'm still playing overseas. I was in three different countries this year. Lithuania was the first one. I played for this team called Pino Zvaigdas. I've been working on that pronunciation.
I was going to say that was
seamless.
I have
to say it because I've worked on it so hard.
Truthfully, we have no idea if you got it right.
Yeah, so that I would tell you guys if I got it wrong. No, I wouldn't. But so then after that, I went to Switzerland to play with a Champions League team, which was a good opportunity for me. That's why I left Lithuania. And then after we got eliminated from that, you know, league play, I went to Poland, Stretching Poland, which is basically in Germany. It's right on the border of Poland and Germany. It's next to Berlin. So that was a good city to end at.
Could you have ever – now, how many different places have you played in total?
In total. So this is my seventh year. I was in Australia. Then I went from Australia to Latin America, and then Latin America to Japan. Then after Japan, I went to the Netherlands. And after the Netherlands, I went to Poland my first year in Poland. And then after that, I went to Qatar.
Wow.
Then after Qatar, I came back to Europe, which was Lithuania, and then Switzerland,
and then back Poland to Poland again. Yeah. Could you have – 20 years ago, Justin Watts, would he have ever believed that you'd have been doing all this?
No. 20 years ago, Justin Watts wasn't even thinking about Europe.
Right.
Like, I wasn't aware, you know, the different cultures or anything. So being able to experience all of this for free and go around and play a child's game is just absolutely just something I never thought of. And just experience different cultures and stuff like that is definitely eye-opening. It's helped me mature a lot faster than I think I would have if I was just in the States or seeing what I'm comfortable with. So it's been a great opportunity.
What have you learned about just how to go and experience another country that maybe you didn't know the first year you did it?
The first year I was just ready to come home after the first week. I'm like, I don't know any of this stuff they're talking about. They don't even have pancakes and bacon for breakfast.
So, the important stuff.
Yes, this is. I don't know. I have to go back home. But now I know. You know, I've been a lot more. You know, open arms and just being mature about things and understanding everybody's not going to do something the way you want it to be done or the way you've been doing it your whole life or 5 years or 1 year, and just give it a chance. And most of the time, when you give it a chance and take it, you know, a day at a time. You learn to say, oh, well, this is not bad. This is okay. And it makes you a better person and broaden your horizons and stuff like that.
And I know I'm not saying one's bad and one's good, but has there been a favorite stop for you or a culture that you just saw? Because I remember we had Jawad Williams on last summer, and Jawad has talked about how much he has enjoyed Japan and the Japanese culture.
I would say Japan as
really?
Well for me. I love Japan. When I first got to Japan, I got off the plane, and – I thought they were joking with me. I thought they were, you know, playing with me. So everywhere I went, they were so kind. You know, they give me a warm rag to wash my hands after I use the bathroom. I go to buy a drink, and I've opened the door, and there's a lady there giving me a warm rag, and I'm like, hold on, guys, come on now. I know you guys know I'm not from here, but you don't have to be that kind. But then I realized that's just the nature of how their culture is. They're very pleasing, and I enjoyed it there, man. The league there is very professional as well, but just the people in general, it's like they can't say no. So it's totally different from here in America when, you know, you'll go by and somebody will mean mug you and you don't even know them. Like, what did I do to him? They're just having a bad day, you know? But I would definitely go back to Japan. Like you said, Jawad's played there. He actually won two championships back-to-back there.
Yep.
I would definitely go back if I got the chance.
How many of these languages do you speak?
Fluently, none.
We've got English.
Survival. A couple. I know a little Japanese. I know, you know, a little Lithuanian and Polish and, you know, Spanish, of course, would probably be the one I'm best at. And then Australia was just, you know, a very, very distinct accent that you got to add to your English to fit in. So I don't speak any of them fluently. That's actually something I'm going to do this summer. The next country I decide to go to, while I'm here, I'm going to take some classes online to see if I can, you know, not just be the pointing guy in the restaurant, you know.
What are the crucial phrases that you've learned? Like, if I go somewhere, I need to know at least how to say, like, these four things or something.
You need to know how to say hello and goodbye. You need to know how to, you know, directions. So if you're in a, you know, Uber, taxi, make a right, make a left. It's up here on the right, up here on the left. And how to order your food. Those are the four things you need. Then the other things you need that you learn, just you're going to learn those even if you don't want to learn them, is all the curse words. Because your coach is going to curse you out some days. Your teammates are going to be cursing and talking about the coach in the locker room. So you're going to learn those whether you want to or not. You're just going to hear them every day, and eventually you're going to put it together like, oh, yeah, that's what that means. I got it.
The directions I didn't even think about, that's key. How to learn how to do right and left. That's important. I didn't even thought about that. Yeah.
Do you think you'd be awesome on The Amazing Race? Like, I think you might be a good partner for me because I really want to go on The Amazing Race.
We can do it, man.
I feel like you'd be good.
I'll be honored to be your partner.
But don't you think you'd be good? Like, you've been to all these countries. You kind of know how to get around.
Yeah, I want to take the pressure off me because I don't want you to get me as a partner and I'm letting you down.
Yeah, we got eliminated the first week. Justin told me he knew everything. Where's my $1 million?
All I learned was cuss words over here.
Yeah, I don't want to let you down. But I would be okay with it, you know. I think I could do pretty well on that if you know, I was focused and came in. And just like you said, by being a lot of places and seeing a lot of things, I would be okay with that.
From the basketball side of it, how have you been able to stick around so long? I mean, people just don't play this long normally. So yeah. How have you been able to do it? How have you been able to fit in all these different places?
Well, first of all, just when I go over there, being in different cultures and what their perceptions of Americans are coming over, I try to break all those. So I try to stay in shape year-round. I don't want to show up to training camp out of shape. And the second thing is just being a good teammate. So I go over there. I don't try to be the man on the team, whether they want me to be the man or not. I come in with a team-oriented mindset, just being a good teammate. And the guys like that. You know, they like that I come over there and I'm a professional. I try to be on time for everything. I'm not late. I don't want to cause any problems off the court as well in the cities or getting in fights or doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing. So just doing the right thing has build a good reputation for me to where if a team asks, oh, how's Justin Watts? Oh, no problems, man.
Sure.
Good professional, good teammate. And then on top of that, oh, he's a pretty okay basketball player. So.
Justin Watts is like, why is Justin Watts now? I feel like you're sitting on top of the mountain.
So I was talking to Coach Rob before I came down here. And since you said the wise thing, I woke up like 2 weeks ago and I had a gray hair in my beard. Right? And I freaked out, man. I freaked out and I cut it. I said, let me just snip this. Right. I don't want nobody to see this. I want to show my age. And I go up there and see Coach Rob today. And I tell him, and he's like, no, you should have let it grow. That people listen to you more when you have gray hairs. I was like, oh, really? Or is it just you do what I say? He's like, oh, well, maybe a little bit of both. Yeah. But, yeah, so – speaking of wisdom, man, yeah. I had a gray hair the other day.
What have you learned about the Carolina family by traveling the world?
That we're everywhere, man. It's like everybody knows North Carolina. So even the teammates I play with, they're like, man, how was it to play in North Carolina? You know, tell us some stories. And even, you know, the guys that we were traveling to Champions League and going to Germany and Spain and Italy and other countries, the interviewers were asking my teammates, how does it feel to play with a guy that played in North Carolina? And I'm looking at the interview like, you don't have to ask that guy that question. So, but everybody knows it, man. We have fans everywhere. We have people everywhere. Alum are everywhere. So everywhere I go, I'm seeing a Carolina person and they have a picture of me when I was here, freshman me or in a practice jersey. I'm like, where'd you get this picture from? And they're like, oh, I was at this game when you guys played here in Dallas or San Antonio or the Bahamas, like anywhere. So it's pretty awesome to see how big the family is and how spread across the world it is.
Justin, for Carolina fans who may not remember kind of your journey, you were a late addition, mm-hmm. right? Just take us through just how you ended up at Carolina because it was a little bit unique.
Yeah, that was, how long ago?
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Gray hairs ago.
Yeah, gray. Oh, man. Gray hair ago.
One, don't put an S on the end of that thing.
But, it was actually the last day you could possibly sign. I had left my recruitment open. And at that time, a lot of coaching changes were going on. So some of the coaches that were recruiting me and had offered me scholarships, they had changed or they retired, like Dave Odom for South Carolina. I remember him, he had retired like 2 days before. So I was like, okay. And I joined here late, and the class was, what, Ed Davis, Larry Drew, and Tyler Zeller, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I joined here late, and when I got here, we just because it was like the 21st. I think we had to be here on like the 25th. So everything was happening so fast. I come in, I meet Jonas. We're doing tire flip. I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. This is the summertime. Like, am I gonna get my summer? You know what I mean?
Yeah, four days of summer.
4 days of summer. So, and I think they do it later now because the guys don't get here until the second. Yeah, we used to get here the first week of coaches camp. But came in, man, and it was downhill from there, and you know, hit the ground running, and it was a great experience after that, man. It was definitely a learning curve, obviously, but getting here was, you know, being a guy from North Carolina, and then I get to play for the team that everybody, like every basketball player, wants to play for Carolina. They're lying if they tell you not, like, oh, I wasn't Carolina. Everybody wants to play where Michael played and get a chance to put on the light blue, so it was an honor to be able to do that. And just got here, and it was a hell of a roller coaster ride, man. It was just, you know, we came in, national championship, then we had the NIT, and then we're back up, and just loads of fun. Teammates are great, coaches great, people like you guys and the fans were great, man.
You walked into a situation that first year, that team was clearly mm-hmm. going to be good. What were your first impressions when you started playing pickup, started going to practice with those guys? Did you know right away, oh, this is a potential national championship team?
Those guys are really good, man. they weren't just really good. They worked really hard. Though that was the first thing that I picked up on, especially coming straight from high school where, you know, you work out, but you might take a day or two off. You know, you're so much more talented than the other kids you're competing against. But when I got here, I mean, Tyler Hansbrough, and just seeing him, like, the first time I knew he was Psycho T, so I didn't know. I'm like, why do they call him Psycho T, man? This guy, you know, he plays very hard, but you know, da 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 da. So it's the first game we're playing, and it's a timeout, and he's probably scored maybe 6 or 8 in a row. He's getting it going. You can see the look in his eyes. You can see he's building up. He's breathing hard. You know how Tyler is. So he gets to the sideline and he yells, "Cup, cup." I'm a freshman. I've never experienced this before. No one else reacted like me, but I'm like, why is he yelling for a cup? So he gets one cup, and he hocks a loogie, man. And he's like, oh, dude, oh, I'm ready, man. Let's go, boys. Let's go. Cup. And he yells another cup. That's just a water cup. And I'm like, wow. But he never took a day off. Practice, you know, he's played 30 minutes. We go into overtime. He's in here the next day. He's taking care of his body. And just like those other guys, they were all about business, man. They had something they wanted to do, being the year before they went to the Final Four, but they were all about business the next year coming in, and not taking a day off is what they taught me. And they kind of welcomed me into the family of kind of like, come on, we're going to wait on you, but we're not going to wait on you too long. You need to learn how to do this, know how to do this. So it made me grow up a lot faster than I probably would have going into a place that the expectations or the business mindset wasn't so high. So that was the first thing I learned.
2010 was a hard year. I mean, for some places that would be a great year or a fine year, but that was obviously a difficult year here. What did you take away from that season? What did you learn from that year? Obviously there were a lot of injuries and all those things, mm-hmm. but what did you take away from that experience?
The one thing I took away is you got to compete every night. Just because, you know, I think we were preseason 4 or something. Just because you're supposed to be good doesn't mean you're going to be good. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we were plagued with a lot of injuries and stuff, but not taking a night off and learning how to compete every night is what I learned from that season, as well as learning from your mistakes. So if you make one mistake, it's okay to make a mistake, but don't continuously make the same mistake over and over again. Make another mistake, a brand new mistake. And then once you make that one mistake on that thing, make another brand new mistake. And therefore, you'll be getting better because you won't be making the same mistake.
Right. Do you think, minus the injuries in 12, you guys are a championship caliber team?
I think we were a championship caliber team that year. And yes, we had the injuries, but you know, the whole if thing, you know, hindsight, you can always look back and say if Kendall didn't get hurt, or if John wasn't banged up with his wrist, or if Harrison wasn't, you know. I definitely think, you know, we could have contended for sure, no question. And I hate, you know, the injuries did pop up the way they did, because me and Z were trying to do something no other Carolina player had did.
Yeah.
So You know, it was fun to try to compete, and it made it a lot tougher dealing with the injuries. But I think if we don't have the injuries, then for sure we're contenders.
If 12 full strength plays 9,
ooh,
what's that matchup like?
12 plays 9. I'm gonna have to go with. I can't answer that. Both teams are very deep. You know, we both had, you know, great point guards, bigs. You know Zeller and Henson, and then Thompson and Hansborough. You know, and yeah, I might have to give it 09 actually, just to think about what I just said, because we had Zeller and Henson, but our bigs weren't as deep. You know, so we had Ed coming off the bench freshman year 09. I just thought about that. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got DG and Wayne, and, but, you know, Harrison and Reggie were very good as well.
Good so, problem to have.
I don't know. I mean, I wish I could simulate it on, like, a video game or something. it would be a very good game for sure. I think if you put us in the practice gym and let us play, it would definitely be a, you know, 4-3 series, something like that, 3-4 series. That's a good question, man. I hope none of the guys get mad at me.
I'd rather watch that series than Warriors against whoever.
Yeah, I know.
It would be a lot more competitive. Man, the Warriors are just breezing through everybody.
I know.
And they're not even full strength.
Yeah, they've lost guys. They're somehow better now that they've lost
They're better
guys.
Without some of their good pieces, huh?
In 12, you ended up having – like, you played point guard and you would play power forward. I mean, just the way
I was all over the place.
I mean, how did – what are your recollections of that? Because you were asked to do so much just because so many pieces were slipping away there at the end.
Yeah. Coach, you know, he would always just run stuff by me. You know, once we lost Graves as me and Zeller's junior year, yep. We became the captains quicker than we normally would become. But he would run stuff by me, and I would just, you know, listen to him and hear what he had to say. And then I would, you know, say, is it going to help us win? You know, he's like, well, yeah, if you do your job, your freaking job will help us. So I said, well, okay, well, I'll try to do my job as best as I can. So we would everything that would kindly, you know, kind of fit its way into the game or find its way into the game, we would have practiced it maybe like a month in advance. So when I started playing point guard, I knew I was going to be playing point guard in front of you guys. Mm-hmm. But we had been going over things maybe in a month before, like I was learning all the sets, doing all this just in case someone got in foul trouble or someone went down with an injury. We weren't hoping for the injury thing. It was more of a foul trouble thing. But he would just run it by me, and then I would, you know, say, okay, let's work on it. And then once I felt comfortable doing it where it was kind of like second nature, that's when you guys would see, oh, well, Watts is subbing in at power forward today, or he's going to sub in at point guard later in the second half. We had already worked on it, man, but that was something new for me because I had always played just shooting guard in high school. And it was like, give Justin the ball, do what you're going to do, Justin. Just make the shot. So when I came here, I had to, you know, take more of a role of where I have to learn this new thing so it can contribute to the game without scoring the basketball, which was totally new for me as a freshman. Because being a young guy, you're like, well, it's all about scoring points. That's what basketball is about. And it's not all about scoring points. You can help your team by doing so many other things other than scoring.
You mentioned Coach Williams. I guess kind of a two-part question. Number one, what do you think makes him so good on the court? And number two, what's made him so good at creating this environment where Justin Watts wants to come back and so many guys want to come back and be here in the summertime?
I think what makes him so good on the court is he's very demanding of you, but it's not to the point where it makes you uncomfortable to where you want to rebel. And it's a very fine line that, you know, he has to walk to do that, because some coaches will push you, and they're pushing you away. He kind of pushes you, and then he brings you back in, pushes you, brings you back in. But the whole time he's pushing you further, and he's just kind of bringing you back in a little bit. So he's challenging you each and every day. And when you do something correctly, he acknowledges it. So, you know, if he tells you to get over that screen, he's just not yelling at you to get over the screen. And then when you do it correctly, nothing's said. So a lot of kids at a young age, when you're being told to do something, you like to be recognized when you do it. So he does a great job at doing that and walking that fine line to where he's challenging you, but he's not babying you as well. And that's what makes him so good on the court. I think off the court, he's just – Roy's a cool guy, man. Like, people see him, and he's doing all that yelling on the court, and he's very intense. That's because he's a competitor and a winner. But off the court, he's a very cool guy to be around. He's, you know, tries to stay hip with the new generation, and we like that. You know, as you guys can see, he wears his hat backwards when we win championships. He doesn't even put the hat on forward. He wears it backwards, and he has it cocked to the side. So, like, he's just a cool guy off the court, and I think guys, you know, we appreciate that when we're off the court, because we're around intensity in basketball so much. Sometimes when we get off the court, we don't want to talk about basketball all the time. We want to talk about golf, or we want to talk about a new movie that came out, or what new cars is out. You know, like stuff like that. And he does a good job of walking that line. I think that's what makes him so good.
How much longer you want to do this? You want to keep playing? Are you about done? What do you think?
I think the legs have about 3 more high level years of running in them. Other than that, you know, I'm transitioning now, trying to develop a brand of some sort to, you know, deal with that. The ball is running out of air part of my life. So I think about 3 to 4 more years of high-level playing. And then if it's, you know, coming in, you know, in front of something that needs to be first instead of second, like a family or whatever that may be, I think it's just time to put it down.
Are you interested in staying in the game when you're done playing? Do you see yourself as a coach? Where do you want to go?
As I get older, I'm getting more patience, which is weird because I thought it was supposed to go the opposite way. I see older people and they just don't have patience at all. Like, get out of my face, or, you know, it's the open the door, close the door.
You're in the sweet spot now, though. See, you're not older.
So that's what it is. Yeah. It's the sweet spot.
Yeah, okay. You're in the sweet spot.
Well, I'll probably have a different answer in about 3 to 5 years, I guess. But no, I would do coaching. I'm not sure what level. Because, you know, kids now are just developing so quickly, and with them developing quickly, they think they're, you know, the best thing since sliced bread.
Now you're sounding like an old guy. Yeah, that's the spirit.
I don't know what I don't know in 5 or 10 years when I'm older how I will respond to that, how I will deal with that, as well as the parents thinking their kids the next Michael. So I'm not sure. I would definitely love to stay around it. It's something I've been around. It's something I know knowledgeable about, and, you know, I'm okay at it when I did it. So I think it would be the easiest transition for me to stay in it. But if something else of my interest comes up where it's just a love and desire for it, I'll definitely do something else.
Who's the best player you've played against?
And period. In my whole mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I would probably have to say, this is another story, Vince. Vince is probably the best in person I've played against. He came down here my sophomore year, summer, and we were playing pickup, and game goes to 7. So he comes in, and I think he had on some jeans and some low-cut Air Force Ones. And we're playing, and then I said, Vince, you going to play? He said, all right, y'all need one, I'll play. I think Brendan Haywood asked him, would he play? So we're playing, and the young guys, you know, it takes a little while for the older guys to warm up. So we're playing just like we would play in Coach Williams' system, just up and down, up and down, up and down. They're a little, you know, slow at the time before they warmed up. So we win a couple games, and we, you know, we start feeling ourselves, and we're talking a little bit. And they're like, okay, all right, check ball. Let's play a couple more games. Y'all ain't got nothing to do. Y'all young, y'all, you know. And we're like, no, we just lifted with Jonas. Da, da, da. And they're like, oh, who cares? Da, da, da. Y'all here to play basketball, ain't y'all? Like, yeah, we are. So we play. And, I mean, I think the next two games to 7, he has 6 of them. And it's like we end up losing maybe 3 or 4 in a row. And we come to the sideline. And I remember Brendan Haywood walked by me, and he was like, yeah, that's what an NBA All-Star looks like. So it was just like you couldn't do anything. Like, he was making tough shots, athletically, you know, he was still in his prime athletically then, and just hanging in the air. I remember one time he drove, and I jumped before he jumped. And I was okay athletically when I was a sophomore. You know, I was pretty athletic. And I jumped, and I came down before he was still in the air. I don't know how. I know it sounds weird, but I jumped before him. He jumped after me. And when I came down on the floor, he was still hanging in the air, and he was, like, shooting a little shot off the glass. So he's probably one of the best player I've played against in person.
Who's somebody who turned out to be different than what you thought? Like, in all your worldly travels, you've met all these players and stuff. Somebody who you thought, eh, I'm not sure about that guy, and then he turned out to be a good dude.
Let's see.
Adam Lucas.
Adam's been a grand guy from day one. So have you, Jones.
I appreciate it.
Two grand guys.
There we go.
Oh, man, that's – I did have this one teammate named Dexter Lyons in Japan, actually. And he had played at University of Central Florida. And, you know, Defensive Player of the Year in that conference, you know, 2000. He was a little bit older than me at the time. I was 24. He was 34. But he had retired before I came to this team in Japan. So, essentially, I was replacing him because he was, you know, retiring. So, I get there. He's not there. He's retired. Maybe 3 weeks later, one of our players gets hurt, and they can't find a player. So, he says, I'm going to come out of retirement. And the first day I get there, he comes in there, and he's just towards me. For some reason, he's like just thinking I'm trying to take his spot. I'm like, well, no, man, you don't. I'm just here. I'm learning, man. I'm still – it's my third year as a professional, first year in Japan. But every day in practice, he's just cheap-shotting me. Like, we're competing for the same spot. And essentially, it's your team. You were here for 4 years. I understand that you put in work and all this. I'm not coming in here trying to be this young macho guy. And, man, the first couple weeks, man, it was just like he cheap shots me. I cheap shot him back, you know, like so I, you know, we're getting there competing and I end up getting the starting spot over him. And then he had been there for 4 years and maybe halfway through the season, he had never made All-Star team. My first year there, All-Star team. That was the worst thing that could happen. Because he's like, oh, he's from North Carolina. They come, when he comes, they roll out the red carpet for him, blah, blah, blah. But then as the season went on, he became the best teammate I've had thus far. You know, he was a very defensive-minded guy. I like playing defense. We were just able to, you know, kind of terrorize the league a little bit once we, you know, teamed up. Both of us are very, you know, big competitors. So I think it was the competitive nature at first. And then eventually we went out one night and he just was like, look, man, I didn't mean to come off this way, da 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 da. And I'm like, well, man, I only did that because of the way you came at me. You know, like, I'm a nice guy. I don't want to be cheap-shotting you and, you know, anyone getting the chances of getting hurt or anything. But until this day, you know, he's from Atlanta. I just got back from Atlanta this weekend, you know, linking up with him. And until this day, man, he keeps up with me. He tells me, you know, he's retired now. So when he watches my games, he's like, hey, man, you're getting lazy on defense, man. You may want to get on the team. So he's still doing the things that he was doing for me, kind of like when he was the OG of the team we played. So that would probably be the only person that I was like, oh, man, this is going to suck playing with this guy. And then at the end, I'm like, dang, man, I wish you weren't 34 and about to retire, you know. So everybody else is, when I met them, they've been just pretty cool guys.
Two quick things more for me. Number one, I know obviously you are friendly and still cordial with all Carolina guys, but is there one or two guys who you keep up with the most or that you see more than anybody else?
John Henson, just because he was my roommate. Every summer we somehow find a way to just meet up every summer. Like we've been doing it since both of us turned pro. And Kendall Marshall and Harrison, probably that, just us three. We were together a lot. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of things together. Just that whole 2012 team, we were really, you know, a cohesive group. But John, and then after that, I'll probably have to say Harrison and Kendall are kind of like that 2B, 2A.
What have you learned that other people think about Americans as you have gone to all these different places?
Well, for one, they think we're just crazy. So, like, you'll come into practice, and if their stuff is, you know, in your cubby or your locker area, And you're like, hey, man, you know, you just ask them questions. Hey, whose stuff is this, man? Oh, I'm so sorry, man. Please, man, I don't want any problems, man. Please. And it's just like, and it's okay, man. I just wanted to know whose stuff it was. So they think we're very quick-tempered because they see all the shootings and they see what's portrayed on the news of all this bad stuff happening. And they, you know, some of the countries I've been in, like Japan, you don't even have to lock your door when you leave. Like, you can go on a road trip and leave your door unlocked and come back and no one's touched it. So probably just that stereotype. They think everybody likes pizza and fries and McDonald's. I don't eat McDonald's anymore just because of I've changed my diet a little bit as the older I've gotten. And that's probably about it. They think all of us like rap music. So anytime they come in the locker room and I have on Anita Baker, they're like, what's going on? And I'm like, man, you can't listen to rap all the time. You know what I mean? But, you know, they just think, you know, some certain stereotypes like that.
If you could go back to summer of 08 and tell baby Justin, who's trying to decide where he's going to go to school, how being a Carolina basketball player would change his life, what would you tell him?
Okay. I would tell him probably something very simple, but it would be, you know, a big part. Just work hard every day and don't get frustrated with the process. So I know when I was younger, or probably everybody, you want something to happen so fast you think it's just a straight line from A to B, and it's not. So you might take 3 steps forward one day and you might take 4 steps backward the next day, but don't let the 4 steps backwards take another 4 steps backwards the next day. So probably just work hard every day and don't get frustrated with the process, because you're going to get there, and the process of the up and downs is what makes it so special when you get to where you want to get to at the end.
That interview with Justin Watts brought to you by AT&T. AT&T, proud supporter of Carolina Athletics. More for your thing. That's our thing at AT&T. UNC Healthcare Know Your Stats feature brought to you by UNC Healthcare and MyUNC Chart. Visit myuncchart.org to sign up. Adam, I'm going to give you a couple Mac Brown stats because I have been with Coach Brown here recently at a couple different events. Mac Brown, the only head coach, active head coach in the Hall of Fame, the winningest college head coach right now. That's amazing to me. Mm-hmm. The winningest active coach in college football right now is Mac Brown. No list today from Adam, but when he does have a list, brought to you by our friends over at Top of the Hill. And, hey, just go in. I'm telling you this now. Just go and get yourself, if you're a radio show frequenter, or if you listen to them via the Carolina Insider podcast, however you may check in, we will, Mac Brown show moving to Monday. So we're still going to be at Top of the Hill, but all our shows, both Coach Brown and Coach Williams, Monday nights next year. So that'll be your Tar Heel Coach Night. It's Monday night, and we'll push those out as podcast on Tuesday morning as well. So you'll get your Tar Heel fix a day earlier.
What about when they overlap?
That is a good question, Adam. So we have discussed this about how to handle things in November when both sports are going on, because what in the past we would just have a show each day or whatever. What I think we are going to do now, and qualifier, this is not set in stone. I think we're going to alternate. So we'll have 1 week where we do Roy Williams, 1 week that we do Mac Brown. And so basically each coach will have 2 shows during that month instead of each coach having 4. So that, again, is not for sure, but it's something that we've talked about. We'll see how it works out. Because we did do last year the doubleheader, and I think that's a neat thing to do once, maybe once a year, and maybe we do it one time, but you can't do it every single week. It's logistically, it's hard for Top of the Hill with some of the seating and the table and who has the rights to the tables for these shows, and it's a grind, too, quite honestly. I mean, by the end of the second hour, I think everybody's ready. So that is the tentative plan, is that we're going to alternate the weeks, Coach Williams 1 week, Coach Brown the next week, or vice versa. I'm not sure which one would go first, but that's the tentative plan as of now.
The doubleheader would be good if there was like a bowl or something.
Right, yeah, yeah. Which, of course, there will be.
Right.
I'm not worried about that.
Orange Bowl.
Yeah. Sugar Bowl.
College football playoff.
Yeah. As the nation's first public university, Carolina educates and trains doctors, healthcare workers, teachers, entrepreneurs, investors, and scientists, all practicing and working across the Tar Heel State. To learn more about all the great opportunities at UNC, you can visit unc.edu. And finally, Adam, and breaking news, in about 1 week's time, I will be there swinging the club beneath the longleaf pines in the heart of North Carolina, a place where golf is more than a game. It is a way of life, a place with more courses than days of the week, and I can chop them all up, more championships than anywhere in America, of which I will not be competing. That place, of course, is Pinehurst, and it is waiting for you. They have their summer tee package now. Hope you can learn more. Go down. It really is a beautiful place to play. Looking forward to getting down there myself. Adam played golf for the first time, and I got to tell you, played pretty well. But that's this is what's going to happen. The first time you go back and play while you play all right. Mm-hmm. It's the second time is when the proverbial you-know-what hits the fan with the game.
Golf club.
Yeah.
When the golf
when
club
the proverbial
the
golf club hits my knee as I've broken it in half over my leg in anger. The first time, it's you have enough muscle memory and you're not stressed enough about it.
You're having fun.
But now it's like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
I played pretty well.
I could be on the PGA Tour.
I got to start thinking about things.
Right.
And then that's when everything goes south.
Yeah.
So next time we talk, it'll be like, I can't play it. I hate this sport. Why has anyone ever suggested that this occur? Hmm. So get ready for that.
It's like when I hit it through the clown's mouth, like four of the first five holes.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking, I could be like those guys on the putt-putt championships and get like a 20 for this entire round.
Yeah.
But then you start thinking about it. Next thing you know, you're at your limit of five.
I wonder why they don't air putt-putt anymore.
I used to watch that a lot and remember Billy Packer was the announcer.
If they air cornhole, you're not going to air putt-putt? I'd watch it.
Did you watch that on Saturday mornings?
Putt-putt?
Yeah.
Not all the time, but I did see. I mean, I definitely remember watching it at some point.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Those guys were really good at putt-putt. And Billy Packer was the announcer.
A little too good at putt-putt. What is an acceptable score in putt-putt where it's like you're good but not too good? I think if you never want a three, so you need – okay, so 36 would be if you got a two on every hole.
Right.
Maybe mix in 3 to 4 hole-in-ones. I'll give you a 32-33.
32-33 is good.
Oh, no, that's really good, yeah.
That's not like playing at the beach with your kids. That's like I'm going on the skins game.
Yeah, I'd say between 33 and 40 is where you want to be.
To be a professional or to be an amateur putt-putter?
You should have at least. You shouldn't go over 40.
Hmm. All right. Certainly, I never do.
All right, let's get to the email inbox. A couple different things. Friend of the pod, David Culp, sent in an email, which I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I was 15 when Top Gun came out. So my dad took me because, of course, as you know, we've gone through the Roadhouse Challenge with Top Gun. By the way, Adam, I think we're big news on the Roadhouse Challenge front. I've been giving this a lot of thought.
Hmm.
I think we need to shake up the Roadhouse Challenge pool. We've talked about that. We haven't talked about this on the air, right?
I don't think so.
I think we need to keep one of the guys who's in Contestants Row right now but hadn't been able to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then add three new ones in there.
Wow. All right. Is it getting about time for another one?
We just had back-to-back Roadhouse challenges.
Maybe like in June.
Yeah. No, yes. I think in the next month.
Right.
For sure. Okay, anyway. Excuse me. I got sidetracked. Culp said he was 15 when Top Gun came out. His dad took Culp and a friend of his to see it on the last day of junior high school. He said he was in ninth grade. Back then, ninth grade was part of junior high school. And dinosaurs roamed the land. For some reason, he David Culp, got Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks mixed up. So he thought he was going to see a comedy with Tom Hanks. He kept waiting for Tom Hanks to come on screen and do say hilarious things, but it never happened. About halfway through the movie, he turned to his friend and whispered, "When does this movie get funny?" I don't remember what he said, but it was probably like, "Dude, what are you talking about?" Once I realized my mistake, I was able to mentally switch gears and finally enjoy the last half of the movie. I guess that's a mistake anybody can make.
That's the danger of having two superstars named Tom.
The danger zone, you mean, Adam? Denise.
I think you mean Danger Town.
Denise Dickinson sent in an email and said she had a SMLL trademark song. She says her memory lane song is Through the Years by Kenny Rogers. Emotional song. I defy you to be at some... We've all been at like a retirement party or maybe even graduation, but this is much more for like 50th anniversary or, hey, Jim Bob has worked at this company for 40 years and now he's gone.
Yep.
I defy you, Adam, to hear Through the Years, see the photos up there, and not get a little emotional.
Yeah, you can't do it.
Yeah. Anyway, she says that song always played on the Dean Smith show when honoring the seniors. She still tears up at that song. Denise, that's totally understandable. I don't remember that, but I don't doubt that.
No, that sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds like something that would have happened.
I can see like Jimmy Braddock hitting a clutch three.
George Carl hustling. Later, that may be too early for the Dean Smith show. I don't know. Jimmy Black hitting a big shot.
Embracing Sam Perkins in a big hug.
Yeah, in slow-mo, of course.
Yeah.
Isaac's been sending us emails for 3 years, and I still can't pronounce his last name.
And they're always good emails, and I always think, I need to remember how to pronounce his last name, and yet here we sit.
Yeah. Okay, Isaac has sent us in a multiple bullet point email. Mm-hmm. Adam, before I go through this email, do you know the answer to the second bullet point?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to research it while you talk about the first one.
Okay. Isaac sent this in. He said, hey, fellas, as we get into the dreary summer months. Hey, Isaac, late spring, not summer yet. He's intentionally saved a couple of things I was curious about or wanted to mention. He said, today, the day he sent this email, felt like the right day. Number one, he said, today was my three-year-old's last day of school, in parentheses, for the school year. It's like preschool. They go twice a week. Get used to the concept of school. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are good times, Isaac. Before you know it, you're... Yeah. Three-year-olds can be out the door, so you just...
That's right.
You just enjoy these days right now. Isaac says he has the privilege of taking his son each Monday and Wednesday because it's on his way to work. Of course, on the way to school, we listen to the pod. Yeah, that's right. Today, for the first time, he connected the dots that these two voices he's been hearing all year are talking about Carolina. At one point, in the midst of talking on the most recent edition, Jones, that's me, I said, Tar Heels. Isaac's son immediately responded with, Daddy, Tar Heels. Says he might not have learned a single thing at quote-unquote school this year, but I'll be dadgum if all those trips and all those times listening to this pod didn't culminate in a beautiful realization on our last trip together. My work here is done. Or better yet, Adam. Perhaps Isaac's just getting started. No, that's good stuff.
Has there ever been a guy who looks more like he sings like than Kenny Rogers?
Well, like 80s Kenny Rogers, not now Kenny Rogers.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about now. Yeah. I'm talking about at his at the peak of his powers.
So Kenny jolly.
He looked exactly like he sounded.
This
I appreciate that.
The dad of a girl who I knew in high school, one of my friends in high school. Why'd you give me that face? She was a friend of mine in high school.
Uh-huh.
And her dad looked just like Kenny Rogers. So one time I was doing, for some reason, I was on the PA for something in the football stadium. And I feel like maybe,
not the last time.
Right. Oh, no, it's coming up. Did your high school do Powder Puff football?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like maybe it was Powder Puff.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
But I don't know. I don't. Again,
why wouldn't you have been coaching the team?
Well, and I did. Like, I played in it, or I did the cheerleader.
You played in it?
No, I did, like, the cheerleader. The guys were the cheerleaders.
Right.
I don't know if that's, like, PC anymore to do this or not. I don't know.
They still have it.
But so anyway, I mean, I did that. I don't know if it was Powder Puff or not. But anyway, for some reason, I was on the PA in the football stadium when some event was going on. And so this girl's dad, who looks like Kenny Rogers, comes walking into the stadium. And he's like walking in, so I start going. On the PA, I was like, you got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold them. He just looked up at me and gave me like a thumbs up.
So this was not an actual football game is one thing.
No. It was definitely not a football game.
A little more informal.
Yes. Oh, certainly. It was some kind of different event. Know when to walk away. Know when to run.
You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting. When the dealing's done, you got to know.
Bullet point two. What is the status of Caleb Ellis? The 18-19 roster has him listed as a junior, but he has seen pictures of graduation this past week where Caleb graduated. Isaac said, good for Caleb getting the work done in such a short amount of time. Does that mean he is moving on from UNC and won't be on next year's team, or is he staying around to do grad work? Adam's all on top of this, Isaac. What's the answer?
Yeah, I'm glad you've asked this, Isaac, because I've researched this. And Caleb, who of course is from Cary,
yep.
Crib, he did indeed graduate. He has not decided if he's coming back next year. He may come back as a quote-unquote fifth-year senior and do some graduate work, or he may not. He hasn't decided as we sit here in mid-May. So that is up in the air.
A little mini what-up while we're at it to Justin Jackson, who came back and has graduated from Carolina, graduated this past weekend. Vasco effed him off. Big what-up to him. Adam, maybe soon.
Yep.
Maybe soon.
Oh, it's in the works. I think very soon.
Vasco, we're talking like 20 years after he was done playing, has got his degree. So congratulations to Vasco Eftimoff, too. He got his degree this past weekend as well. Bullet point three, Adam. Something we're all thinking about. Senior night of 2021. Isaac says he's relived this year in my head. He thought back to senior night and how special it's been. And I will say one more time,
yep.
Really think the senior nights have taken off here recently. Just for whatever, and they finally grabbed hold, and there's been some awesome seniors that's been part of it. He said, as I did so, the reality of senior night 2021 dawned on me for two reasons. Number one, there are seven guys currently on the roster who project to be going through senior night activities that evening. Andrew Playtech, Garrison Brooks, Sterling Manley, Walker Miller, KJ Smith, Ryan McAdoo, and Brandon Huffman. That is in itself a pickle. Not Mr. Pickle, I'm sure.
Well, Mr. Pickle is involved
right.
in this.
Which I'm sure the team will find out a way to iron out. Now, we've seen this before. Was it 09?
I think so, yeah.
Where Coach, I think it was 7 that year, too.
Yeah.
Where Coach Williams sent all 7 guys out onto the court for the jump ball. And, of course, they'd worked it out with the officials. And then the official looks around and goes, oh, no. Coach, I have to inform you, you have too many players out on the court. And it's like a whole deal, and then two people walk off, and they get a nice round of applause.
Was it Jack Wooten? I feel like he was
one. I feel like Patrick Moody was involved
yeah,
in one of these. So I can't remember the exact year, but I do believe it has happened before where there have been more than 5 seniors,
yep.
And that is how Coach has handled it in the past. So if that situation comes up, I would expect something similar where it'll be a whole kind of slapstick show of the whole thing, and then we'll all get to wave and cheer, and on we go. Part two. Isaac said, the more interesting reason I thought of this is the possibility of the quadruple towers. He said, can you imagine Playtech running the point with Brooks, Manley, Miller, and Huffman playing the 2 through 5? In this era of positionless basketball, it's always the big guys who get the short end of the stick, with the floor being populated by guards and wings. Why not reverse it and give the big guys some love? It'll probably never happen, but Isaac can just envision old Roy sitting on the sideline guffawing as Garrison Brooks stays in front of whatever random 5-star Duke rents for the year, blocks his shot, Miller recovers the loose ball, pitches ahead to Huff, who runs the break before throwing an alley-oop to Manley for the jam. It's the anti-Warriors. Isaac says, thanks for indulging my randomness. No, Isaac, thank you.
I think the fact that Isaac has given this enough thought to lay out how the play is going to unfold,
yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Now, this may be 2 years from now. Sure. We don't know what's going to happen. We need to know right now.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get
this
figured out now.
Who's playing the wing in that lineup?
Okay, Adam, we received a DM
Whoa.
From our friend Ben Johnston.
Hmm. Yeah.
I I thought I understood this DM, but are we going back to the horse naming thing?
Yes. Yeah, it has to do with the horse.
Okay, well, tell us what's going on.
Well, so I think we addressed this on a previous pod where there was a horse owner who contacted us because their horse's dam was named Cameron Crazies. That's the mom of the horse.
Yes.
And so they wanted to name new baby horse a name with a Carolina reference. And so we put it out there for people to submit their ideas and got some hilarious ones, many of which we cannot repeat.
Yeah, we couldn't repeat. But they were great.
But Ben Johnston had several. Now, the first wave, none met the rules of the Horse Naming Federation or whatever.
Hey, do not cross the Horse Naming Federation.
Because there's rules, I guess, about what you can and can't do, and apparently everything our people did was wrong. They didn't even want any of these names.
No, we don't want these.
But Ben took the time to look up the rules.
Yeah.
And so his second wave met the criteria from the Horse Naming Federation.
Thank goodness.
And one of the names he submitted, which I believe was Carolina Airness, I think, was picked. And so now there's baby horse named Carolina Airness, thanks to Ben.
Yeah.
So, and now in the DM.
He sent us a screenshot of the text conversation about the horse.
I like how he scratched out his address so we wouldn't anything nefarious.
Hey, Ben, don't worry. We've got special technology that we know exactly where you live, bro.
We're outside in your driveway right now. Look outside. Yeah. Look outside, Ben.
We're podding from your porch.
The pod's coming from inside the house.
We're podding from your guest room right now.
Ben, I could use an ice cold glass of water.
Ben, that dinner smells delicious. Those tacos down there.
Usually we have a little better proximity to the bathroom when we do the pods.
There's no urinal in your bathroom. I'm confused. What is this ground-bound toilet?
So Ben, his name was selected, and new baby horse is now at Churchill Downs training. That means he's a legit horse on my horse knowledge. Only the best go there.
So Ben, in the message that he sent us, said Pod family gets it done again. He says, feels like the only logical next step is a trip to the Derby to watch the horse win it all. Adam, we made Army Navy happen.
Yeah.
I think Kentucky Derby might be next.
Well, if our horse is in the Derby, we're going.
Yeah.
That might be an occasion to wear the onesie, a Derby onesie.
Have your big hat and a onesie.
Yeah. Because anything goes fashion-wise at the Derby. That's what I think.
I think you can just say anything goes at the Derby.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And I'll have my seersucker suit by then.
Right.
It'll be totally in there.
Yeah, it'll be familiar to you wearing it because you will have worn it several times, probably to a game or two.
Yeah, it's all coming together.
If Carolina Airness is in the Derby, we're going.
We make this decree now, today.
Sorry, Tar Heel Tour. Jones can't be there.
No.
He's going to the Derby.
Yeah. Couple of tweets wanted to pass along before we get out of here. Marty Ray said he's heard the Billy Joel song about 5 times since the Pod 200 song. He says he can't remember ever hearing it before.
Come on, Marty Ray.
Yeah. I think it's just one of those things. It's like your phone listening to you.
Right.
Now you're thinking about it more, so you're going to hear it more.
Yeah.
Pod made it 200. Chris Williams sent us one, said, had to go across enemy lines for his stepsister's graduation at Virginia Tech. Chris said he and his son wore Carolina blue with pride, got some sideways glances, took a picture Chris did of him standing by the Virginia Tech side with his son, both wearing lovely Tar Heel gear. He did give it a hashtag vacation from life and hashtag see you later, big grits. Nice. Cody McKinney sent us one, said, May 19th, 1989, 30 years ago, Roadhouse released in theaters.
Roadhouse.
He said he thought that we would like to know that in case we wanted to name it a holiday for the pod, which I'd like to mention, Adam. I'm going to say this. When I saw this picture of the promotional shots here from Roadhouse, kind of made me want to watch it again.
I think it's uncanny to me how much the poster looks like Footloose. The way Roadhouse is written, if you just look at it in the thumbnail, I first thought that was Footloose.
Yeah.
But then I realized that was Patrick Swayze's buff self standing there with one leg up. And then I realized, oh, of course, Roadhouse.
Kind of want to watch it again.
JCPenney's coming because of me.
Yeah. Our friend Downton Shabby sent us one, said he enjoyed Adam pivoting from his British accent to a full-on deep Southern accent mid-sentence,
yeah,
pronouncing Carter like someone was saying Carter. I enjoyed that as well.
Here in Kerry Owais's backyard, we have signed the Magna Carta and changed the course of human history. I don't feel like we got enough credit for talking about the Magna Carta on the pod.
Yeah.
Because my kids then looked it up to find out what it was.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Kevin King said he liked the end of our Clint Gwaltney interview where we asked him about the best barbecue place and hopes that we start doing that more with our guests.
Justin, where is the best barbecue place in Lithuania?
Justin, when you're in Poland, where's the best place to get some good barbecue?
But there was some controversy.
Ethan sent one in, said the barbecue place across from the Cleveland Mall is Red Bridges, not Austin Bridges. Mm. He said this is on par with confusing Duke for Carolina. One is clearly superior to the other. Threw up the eyes rolling. How can you justify that?
How can you possibly justify that?
But Clint brought it all back and responded via Twitter and said, it has been 30 years. My humble apologies. That's no excuse. All right, Adam, give us our ultimate update.
UNC, number one seed, men's ultimate and women's ultimate. No televised games in pool play. Nothing will be streamed, but I assume they will be streamed during the quarters, semis, and finals, says Kate Leslie. Carolina's got a couple MVP nominees for the Callahan Award. As Kate says, equivalent to the Naismith Award.
Sure.
I think we can agree with that.
I mean, those breaks that they made in Tommy Boy over at Callahan Motors. It's nice of them to finally sponsor that award.
Rebecca Fagan is the Callahan Award nominee for the ladies. Oh, boy. Matt Gashow-Hanas.
Whoa. That was pretty good.
We'll go with that for the men. So we'll soon know what happened.
Yeah, because it happens Memorial Day weekend, right?
That's right. Well, yeah, when all the big ultimate is played.
Yeah. So some big ultimate. Well, next pod, we'll have the ultimate results.
Yes.
Hopefully a pair of titles for the teams representing the University of North Carolina.
Yep.
Adam, anything else?
No, I don't think so. I'm aware of DaBaby's legal troubles.
Yeah.
That is certainly going to affect the midsummer list of top rhymers in the game.
Yep.
We just came out with our pre-summer list. We can't update it so soon.
Yeah, maybe end of June.
Yeah, but I am aware of DaBaby's issues on his security team, and there will be severe ramifications for DaBaby on that list.
Okay, so we'll be back sometime in the near future. We have a bunch of guests.
Yeah.
We've gotten some good interviews that we've already done. So we have some guests that we already have in the queue. So looking forward to bringing those to you. But we'll be back. We'll be back. Our next one will be our first. I'm guessing, Adam, because it'll be post-Memorial Day, our first summer edition of the Carolina Pod next time out.
That means I can wear white shoes.
Yes, finally.
Okay, good. I've been waiting.
But until then, we're going to let Justin Watts and the RZA send us out of here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
I'm Justin Watts, and see you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.